Everybody turn to their neighbor and say, neighbor, let's get ready for something fast, hard-hitting, revolutionizing, and totally Christ-centered. And somebody said amen. All right. We were scheduled to do something a little different today, and so we'll see where we go and how we can get there. But what we want to do is maybe if I can hold fast to whatever the Spirit of God is saying, and the one thing that was come out of the beautiful, beautiful time of God's people praise and worship. And I don't know about you, but I love being in a ministry, in a church, where we have tremendous and phenomenal musicians as well as singers that care more about Christ than anything else. Come on, let's thank God for them in Jesus' name right now. Come on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice how the songs are even selected as far as the wording of each of the lyrics were in direct correlation to where we are and what we've been doing. And I want to thank you all for that and whoever the pivot person was for that today. So thank God for that. Just want to say again, welcome. This is an overwhelming reception of the Spirit and the Word of God in our midst. I just want to describe what happened on last week for those that weren't here and those that have been here all the time. And that is, you know, if we notice, it kind of seemed like we ended really dry almost, you know. In the midst of that, there wasn't any altar call. And, you know, there wasn't anybody that came up and needed anything per se that shared that or anything like that. But the wonderment of how fast people got to Facebook, how fast people got to their Instagrams, how fast people start putting out emails, people coming up later on in the day to thank God for the Word of God that was shared. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm not trying. I don't need that encouragement or anything, and that's not my intent. My intent is I want everyone, if there's multiple ethnicities, multiple ages, multiple depths of spirit in people that are able to receive something, that means everybody can get something. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Amen. And so therefore, what a wonderful, just a major, major, massive presence of God on last week. And so therefore, I want to continue with this. It says, I want to ask if you at any time, we need to start breaking open the walls. Okay, we need to start tearing down the walls of normality. Have you ever heard of the phrase new norms? Have you ever heard of the phrase new norms? BCC is in the process of making new norms. So in order to make new norms, we got to break down old customs. I'm preaching harder than you're listening. So therefore, in order to break down walls, we've got to be willing to do new things so that God will erect new walls. Or new boundaries, and the boundaries ought to be like in Isaiah 54, where he said, expand your tent. And if we want to expand our tent, we're not even talking about people. I'm not even concerned. You're going to see in this message, I'm not concerned about numbers. I'm concerned about the Spirit of God having full liberty. Amen. So I want to ask of you, if you at any time sense a testimony or a word of the Lord rise up in you, just go ahead, move out, maybe stand up and, you know, wait there until we acknowledge you and then share what God has on your heart or what God is saying to you. Maybe you might even have a question. Whatever Jesus does within you, you've got the liberty and you've got to be bold enough to obey. You got to pray and obey. You got to pray and obey. Three people got it. You've got to pray and obey. Everybody with me? How many know you want God to do things for you? A lot of those. How many understand that when we pray, God gives a word, he wants you to obey? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So as we shared on last week, and for those that are visiting with us for the first time, it is a little bit odd, maybe, maybe not. We right now are not in the midst of trying to have church. We're not trying to gather and assemble because we are, you know, so much focused on church, and that was a really good message. It made me feel good. It inspired me. I feel better. What we're doing right now is what we call leadership training and discipleship that will make you unlimited. Amen? And so, therefore, just an indicator of what that looks like, our primary purpose is to picture or perceive our vision and prepare us to run with the vision. I see that this is going to take 12 or more than that, messages that will minister to the hearer. It's not that you won't be ministered to from the Word of God. It's not that you won't be moved by the Holy Spirit. It's not that you won't receive things that relate to who Jesus Christ is. It's just that we are in the midst of wanting to make sure you understand our primary purpose is that we're attempting to train right now. Amen?
Amen.
But please remember, though, through teaching these trainings, BCC is to see. We are to what? And experience specific traits of being the heart of God in our world. So right now, we want to go ahead and make sure we can pass out those Bibles, or if you will, won't you go ahead and open up your app, if you will, if you got a Bible app. If you don't have one, please, I encourage you, download and open a Bible app right now, if you will. Get it ready for when we get ready to read. And then we have those Bibles that anybody can have here. If you want a Bible, you know what? You've got 20 Bibles at home. You want a 21st one, you know what? We are willing to give it to you as long as you read all 21. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So whatever you have desire of, please, we want to give away a Bible. So open up your Bible, and we'll go there in just a second. And then why are we reading the Bible every day, and why are we reading the Bible in service? Is because reading the Word it strengthens us for running with the vision. It strengthens us for running with the vision. I want to share that finally my eyes have seen what can be a vision of my heart and a spirit in real live active form. My point is this, myself as well as this ministry leadership team have seen with our own eyes things that were only imagined. We have seen it. And how many understand when you see it with your own eyes, then you know you can be it. And therefore, I just want to share what are we doing is now we will lead BCC to see it and to be it. We're going to see it and we're going to what? So therefore, when we look at the book of Habakkuk, he says, what do you see? We're not going over it. Don't be nervous. Habakkuk chapter 1. Didn't see this last week. Praise God for Pastor Dr. Jones gave me a message that I just now gotten really listened to. And it started off like this. Habakkuk 1:1. In other words, all of us are familiar with Habakkuk chapter 2. But you know what? Let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 1:1. And in Habakkuk 1:1, it says this. The burden. Everybody say the burden. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And here's the point. In order to have a great vision, oftentimes come out of having a burden. And how many understand God will lay a burden on you, a burden. Some would say you have a complaint. Some scriptures call it a complaint. Or when one translation, I read it last week, right, we said it a vision. So a burden. And how wonderful it is in metaphor form when Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden. Everybody say burden.
Burden.
My what? My
burden.
Is.
Life.
And when you look at that transformed or transfigured into good teaching, what happens is this. The burden we know is really something related to an animal or a farm animal or a treading out animal. But when Jesus says my burden is light, Jesus is saying I am yoked with you. I take up all of the heaviness, all of the weight, all of the power you need, all of the strength you need. I carry all of that. Though you're in this with me, I need you to wear it a little bit. It's going to be a light burden. Some people have a light burden for the sick. Some people have a light burden for marriages staying together forever. Some people have a light burden for those that are being abortioned and don't believe that children and humans should be killed. That's a light burden, but you don't have to carry what Jesus will do something about. But God wants to cause us to be used by him in order to do something of what that light burden is pushing you to do. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's your light burden? Amen. So in chapter 2, it says this. I will stand, watch, and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And everybody said, amen. A little R&R simply means this, read it and run with it. Read it and run with it. So the overall training of BCC's transformation is see God say. May you run with the vision. Can you say that with me? See God say, may you run with the vision. Praise God. Real quick note, vision, the root word of the vision, not the Greek, not the Hebrew as written in the text, but when you look at the English word, vision, the root word, quick summary is this. It comes from a root word or a root syllable called vis in Latin. So see the Latin root word vis and its variant vid, vid also being Latin, both mean see. Vis. Look at all of the words that you know with vis in it, right? Visual, vision, provision. All that comes from a Latin. Vis means to see. Means to see. Means to what?
See.
Means to see. Vis, vision, means to see. And therefore, not only does that mean it, but also the syllable vid, vid. We have lots of words like that, right? Like video, are you with me? So therefore, when we talk about vis, vid, we talk about video. The Latin root vis is easily recalled through the word vision, someone's ability to see. Whereas vid can be remembered through what? We are a talk back church. Amen. Can be remembered through
video.
Or moving images which see on a screen. So how many understand what we need is for God to give us a video? Oh, did you get that? God needs to give some of us a video of the vision. We don't need a snapshot. Can I tell you why? We don't need a snapshot because, you know, some of our audience highly believe in what is called Snapchat. And how many understand God's not interested in giving us a Snapchat? Because a Snapchat after a few seconds goes away. God's not interested in us forgetting what we're supposed to do or who we're supposed to be. God's more interested in giving us a Instagram where you can go back, play it with a loop, keep seeing that thing over and over and over and over again so that we might come to the vision of who God created us to be. God, give me an Instagram. And if you're young enough, or if you're curious enough, you might tap that thing and it'll give you sound. I not only want to see it, I want to hear it. I want to see, God, what you're saying to me, because I want to be what I can see. And if I can see Jesus, I can become like him. Vision. Vision in revelation form is this. Is a mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion of what should be. Vision is a mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion of what should be. For instance, let's say this, no more hunger. That's a vision. No more hunger. Simple, everybody can understand it. How many understand that's a vision of what should be? How? With all of the global's resources, somebody should be hungry. Right? That's a light burden. And who has that burden to see it fulfilled? You see that? Fueled by a passion of what could be. Right now, our current thematic goal is run with the vision. Everybody say, run with the vision. It's very important that we see this. BCC has a unique call to this community. Could you read them with me? Ready, set, read. Number one, we what? Intentionally responders to the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. Can we read that one more time? Intentional responders to the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. I think I'm going to get this really further planted in our spirit. Let me say it this way. We're not looking just for somebody else to move by the Holy Spirit. How many understand that we're looking for somebody else to come up to us and give us a word? We spend more occupying time looking around to see who's going to bless us than we really are willing to receive from God's blessing and bless others. What I've discovered, didn't mean to have this in there, what I've discovered is by going to bless others, and I'm talking about this in the past 12 weeks, by going to bless others, I get overwhelmed radically with the blessings of God. Number two, we are what? Turn to your neighbor and say, you look a little different than I do. Well, now wait a minute, you got to find somebody that actually does look different than you, amen? What a prophetic word. Listen, what a prophetic word. What a prophetic word Brother Austin said today. I don't think I've ever heard that said before. It says, we don't have a look. Wow. We don't have a look. Amen. I would only alter that by saying this. I think we look like heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, we're what?
Free.
Come on, everybody. Number three, we're what?
Free.
We're free in Christ. We're free in Christ. We're free in Christ. And number four, we are?
Hospitable.
We're hospitable. What's developing in us? A kingdom of God culture. What's developing us is a kingdom of God culture. And that is what I would like to call a Christ culture. A Christ culture. Where Christ is preeminent, where he is present, and the things that manifest among us is of Christ. So we will over-communicate with clarity our BCC vision. We will over-communicate it. One person says it like this, and even good reading, good leadership reading says it this way. We will over-communicate it, meaning just when you thought you said it a lot and you're tired of it, then we're going to keep on saying it. Amen? Did you hear how Sister Angela, we might need to start calling her Pastor Angela, I'm not sure, but anyway. Here she go, and she says, for we are the heart of God. Came out in prayer, right? Because we want to over-communicate it. Say it out loud. Ready, set, read. We are the heart of God in our world. One more time. We are the heart of God in our world. Amen. So, again, our very first BCC transformation training is this one lesson broken up into three parts. I will go ahead and complete it today. Even though we had something a little bit different planned, I'll just go ahead and finish it out. It doesn't take long to finish this message out. All in to win, part three. This is the story you are in to win. This is the story you are in to win. Real quickly, by the show of hands, how many people want to win? Amen. How many of you want to win? You want to win? Amen. You want to win? So this is the story you are in to win. Can you say that with me? The story you are in to win. Now put your name and say I. Or like,
I.
Say, this is the story I am in to win. This is the story I am in to win. Amen. BCC, this is the story you are in to win. We're not going to go over Judges chapter 6. We did that the first two sermons. Lessons. But this is the one caption I want to make sure we get before we go into chapter 7. In chapter 6, this is just something right at the end I want to make sure all of us get. God is for you, not against you. God is for you, not against you. How many know we could bless this community right now if just about 43% of us went out with that knowledge? God is for you, not against you. Listen, something goes on in your life, God is not to blame. God is not punishing you. God has not abandoned you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the time. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go through it with you. You're going through something? Oh, that's all right. We got this. This is a light burden. I, God, have done this before. God is for you, not against you. God is for us. God, not an angel, turned and said to Gideon, you got to catch this. An angel of the Lord came up and showed up to Gideon, but later in the text, chapter 6, it says that God turned to him and said, go in this your strength. God turned to him and said, go in this your strength. Therefore, notice this, I love this. This is really kind of a cool thing over some messages I'll share with you. But when you are like from God, How many understand you can just ignore nonsense? One person recently said this, and it's so true, and now we're like starting to lean into it and live it, is that when you are close to Christ, you become bold. When you're close to Christ, you become bold. You do things for God that you wouldn't have done when you were scared. Is everybody with me? And therefore, you come to understand this, and that is, oh, I love it, is that, you know what, when what happened from God, God was like, you know, Gideon was like, my people, they the lowest people, and I'm the lowest one of them all. And when the wind blow, I fall over. He just having a, how many understand, God is not going to show up at your whining party. And how many know God doesn't show up at your pity party? Right, you can throw out invitations. But ain't nobody coming to your pity party. Not the people of Christ. That's maybe why y'all don't ask me to come. I don't know. You know, I get more people to say they don't like me. I don't mind that. Because I'm not coming to your pity party. Pastor, they just don't like me. Praise the Lord. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tribulations and trials. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So God ignores what Gideon says and says, go in this your strength. And that's what God needs to say us today. Go in this your strength. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
He said, go in this your strength and rescue or deliver Israel, is what he said. Then in that same chapter, God said to him, I will be what? I will be what? And at the end, after Gideon is scared because he realizes he's seen the Lord, and now he's afraid because of the children of Israel days and of the history, they thought that if you saw God, you would die. So he says, oh, my God, I saw God. Oh, my God, I saw the angel of the Lord. I saw God. I'm going to die. God says, turn to him, says, you know what? Peace. I am peace. And this is what you need to understand. Love this text. It doesn't say he received peace. It says God is peace. He lifted up an altar and says, God is peace. God is shalom. God is peace. God is peace. When you're looking to have no conflict, when you're looking to have prosperity, when you're looking to have, you know, things be rested, you need God to be your peace. You don't need peace. You need God. God is your peace. So therefore, he says, God is peace. And later, when he goes to tear down those idols, the Spirit of God clothed him. The Spirit of God clothed him. We need the Spirit of God to clothe us. That's called anointing. Everybody with me? Turn to Judges chapter 7. Now that you're ready, let's turn to Judges 7. Are you ready? You got New Living Translation? Bless you. Huh?
Red mic, thank you.
You got it? Y'all have it? New Living?
What version?
New Living. Judges chapter 7, beginning at verse 1.
So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all of those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. Mm. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 with them. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night, the Lord
said... Let's stop right there. Remember that point and you'll start picking up from right there. Okay, so let me go to his notes right quick. I want you to hear this because the whole entire message was birthed out of this point. So this is the conceiving point of the message. Everything else was a birth of it. I want you to understand, this is God's way to win. This is God's way to win. Come on, don't be distracted. Everybody raise their hand and want to win, right? This is God's way to win. And I want to make sure you see this. This is from God and for God. In other words, the things that's going on in our lives, it has to be from God and for God. And therefore, this is not about us. It's from God and it is for God. Look at your marriage. Your marriage wasn't for you. You happen to be the benefactors and the recipients of everything that is good. But your marriage was from God. Therefore, it has to be from God and for God. Some of us in here, high levels of aptitude, tremendous intelligence, tremendous. How many understand that? That's from God, for God. Whatever your disciplines are, that's from God. And it's what? For God. If we can be convinced of this, then you're going to begin to understand this next point. So therefore, God reduces you. Oh, glory to God. It was right in the Bible. Oh, I hope I don't have to preach off this. Listen, the Bible says that God says that there's too many of you. There's too many of you to win. I can't. You got to catch this. This is like one of those subtle points. He never said that they would lose. You got to catch this. You got to catch the scriptures. Check it out. One of those things we talk about. He didn't say that if they would lose. He said that if you took all of them out there and you win, God was going to make sure they was going to win no matter what. Hallelujah. Our God is not about losing. Our God is about winning. Hallelujah. But God's concern is that when we win, that we don't think it's us that won it because he wants all the glory. Jamie, it doesn't matter if you grow to be 7'11". God has to cause us to be reduced because when we get reduced, then we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we were unable to get that done. We were unable to get that victory. I wasn't able to pass that class. I wasn't able to get that degree. There's no way I should have gone 22 years of marriage when everybody else in my family's been divorced. There's no way I can hold on to that job. It's not God saying, no, you're bad. God says, no, I'm just good. Woo. Glory to God. God said it was too many people. So here's the message. I admit, I said it last week, I'm going to say it this week. The reason this is so personal is because we've been reduced. BCC's been reduced. We've been reduced and steady reducing. We got people coming out, going out, you know, they say going out the back door. People going out windows now. Amen. I mean, people are not just being sent out like Austin, praise God, being sent out like EJ, being sent out. People being sent out, praise God. They're going to make a difference somewhere else. Glory to Jesus in the world. They're being sent out. Some people have went out, just can't take it here anymore. Not good, not good leadership, not good pastor, too much, same old, whatever. Went out. This is not about them not being a part of us. We weren't good enough. That's cool. People went out. And some people haven't even been sent out and went out. Some people have peaced out. I'll be here on the second, and I'll be here on the second Sunday, on the fourth Sunday, but I got to sneak a peek somewhere else on the first and the third Sunday. Right? People sent out, went out, and peaced out. But that's all right. The good news is, oh, wait a minute. We being reduced. Oh, my God. We are being reduced. And if we're being reduced, there must be a purpose by which God wants to reduce us. It's God's way to win. Because when you get reduced, you get a more concentrated version of what he really wants us to be. When he gets rid of or causes others to go out and become what they need to be, we get reduced down to a concentrated version of what Jesus has created and called us to be. We talk about we need to be people that are reduced so that when he populates us, we'll be God's original version. You look up, where'd they go? Well, bless them. Let me tell you, and we're still leaving good reputation. I was at another church the other day, preaching to a staff at another church. And one of the staff members used to be a part of BCC. Stood up, said, hey, you introduce him. Said things that were so wonderful, so beautiful about you and about us. I didn't even know that we were that way to them. But Jesus is causing us to have a good reputation of being about the love of God, about being able to serve people, about being pure about the things of Jesus Christ. Got another woman of God up in the hospital, belongs to another church here. Terea, come pour oil on me. Pray for me. Don't you understand that God wants us to be a potent version of who he made BCC to be? And therefore, in order to be that, we've got to be reduced. Because when we win, it's not because we had so many people. It wasn't because I was so organized. It wasn't because I got out on time. It's because of God himself. So, check this out. So now trip off the story. You got to trip off the story. Read the rest of it. Can't go through it. So this is kind of a tripped out story. God has 32,000 people in the children of Israel. You're going to read later in the text, there are swarms of Midianites, Amorites, and the people of the east. Swarms of them. And 32,000 wasn't really that many. So God not only already knows we're outnumbered, he says, I still need to reduce you. So he comes up and says, you know, anybody scared? You scared of what BCC doing? Don't look good. Things might look a little funny over there. 22,000 folks just got up. I get it. I get up with you, man. What you need? My horn? Whatever. I'm out, boo. Man, you going up against them Gideonites. I mean, you going up against the Midianites. So the leader, look at yourself as the leader here. And you're like, okay, we now got 22,000 against millions. Okay. Okay. God says, see, 1, 2, 3. See, 100, 200. Hey, Gideon, that's too many people. God is about reducing. And it's reducing beyond the number you think we should be at. Wherever you are in your life and you thought your financial account was just going to now make it, like you couldn't get the extra bologna, you know what I'm saying? Right? No, hey, you know, we're going to go to lunch after church. Oh, really? Well, I kind of brought my lunch. You know, right? God says, okay, I want y'all to go down to the water. Now, people have preached over wise, you know, how they drunk the water and all that, like, that's technical. This is a much more general message. God took the 22,000 and reduced them to 300. And then God says, yeah, I'm going to win with the 300. However many we get reduced down to, however many people end up being all in. That's why this message is about being all in or being all out. I want to know who's going to be the people of BCC that's going to be all in. Because when we get reduced down to that number, it's time to go do what God called and created us to do. So he said, okay, I'm going to do it with 300. Now, you got to catch the tripped out part of the story. I mean, I'm really speeding through it. So he says, okay, it's 300. All right, now we can win. Now, don't you kind of wish that you're thankful that God didn't say to them, now go ask them if they're scared now? You should probably wonder, when the seats are so empty up in here, well, honey, won't you go over three seats and I'll go over here and make it look like it's more people. That's all right. We're not going to be scared. We ain't scared. We ain't scared. We going to look at people and say, oh, no, God's just reducing us. Glory to God. God does not care about our fear. Somebody say amen. You're a part of the army, boy. Can I preach this? Look at this. God will win with few for his glory. Say that with me. God will win with few for his glory. Here's the vision of all in. This is the background. I can't give you the background. This is Jonathan, Saul's son. So he's a prince of the children of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Notice what it says in verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was his armor bearer, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will act for us. For nothing hinders the Lord from saving by many or by few. Come on, give God a praise offering for that. What would hinder God from saving by many or saving by what? Hallelujah. So verse 7 says this. I want you to catch this. All of those that need this in your life, you need this person in your life. You need this person in your life. You need this person in your life. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Oh, can I preach this thing? All in, say all in.
All in.
Turn to your neighbor and say all in.
All in.
All in are those who may not even see the vision yet, but they are all in because they are with you according to your heart. You need people around your life. They might not see the craziness that you talk about. They might not even think you can accomplish what you're talking about. But they're with you, not because of what they can see, not what they can figure out about you, not because of your weaknesses, but because of your heart. You need people around you that are with you because of your heart. So the craziness of the story, I'll end it. Finish it in the book of Judges, chapter 7. So then this crazy plan, this is not a good plan. The plan is, okay, you scared. I want you to go down to the enemy's camp with your armor bearer. So you're going to go down to the camp where there's millions of people that want to kill you. And what I want you to do is I want you to just listen, because somebody's going to have a dream there. And in the dream, there's going to be an interpretation. And how many understand, he goes down there, he gets behind like a little bush, he hears two people talking. Oh my goodness, I had a dream. And the dream was a big barley loaf of bread came tumbling down the hill and fell on one of the tents, crushed it. The other one says, you know what? That's the army of Gideon. They're gonna come in and crush us. Now let me ask you a question. What does a loaf of bread have to do with just being destroyed by the other people? Absolutely nothing. That's why this cannot be done by flesh and blood. It cannot be done by might and power, but it has to be done by my supernatural spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Gideon gets on fire. Gideon gets on fire. He goes back and he has this plan. Okay, I want you all to have a horn in one hand and a light in another. And then I want you to cover up the light. And then when we go on top of the mountain, I want you to carry a horn and a lamp. We're gonna go against, we're 300 people. And we're gonna go against a million people. And the weapons we gonna take is a horn and a light. This is a really bad plan. Can I tell you how bad the plan is? So you want me to be up on the mountain, there in the valley. And so you want me to be heard that we're coming and be seen that we're coming. Gideon, I know you're the leader. But this sounds a little crazy to me. I'm all in. But do you have any of them swords left? The craziness of the plan is this. You got to check the text out. They get to the valley, and they get to the river, to the mountain. And the plan is to watch Gideon. And Gideon says, when you hear my signal, you do what I did. Breaks the pitcher, now the light is flowing. Blows the horn. And this is what they're supposed to say. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon is against you. I want you to hear this. They had a horn and they had a light. They did not have a sword. God wants to win the victory supernaturally, not by flesh and blood, not by great organization, but he wants us to move out into the supernatural, depending upon the Holy Spirit and causing miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what will deliver people. That's what will get people saved. That's what will keep marriages together. That's what will get people off of cocaine. That's what will pull people out of the dance strip club over there. That's what will cause children to grow up in families. Because some of us don't come on the right side of the track. Some of us come for we've seen crazy stuff. And it takes crazy righteousness, crazy miracles to get us back to where Jesus Christ wants us to be at. Stand on your feet. I'm going to say this in a lower voice so the non-yellers get it. Yes, we've been reduced. But I believe the word in Scripture says that God reduced Gideon's people because he couldn't win if they had so many people. Because then the people would become prideful and they would begin to be haughty because they would think they had done it. Somebody say amen. Number two, God gives them plans and a vision that aren't real well. They don't make sense. Some of the plans we do here doesn't make sense. Not many people was here. I'm just going to give you one example. Not many people was here. Not many of y'all, about maybe, I don't know, maybe five or six, Brother Michael and Sister Anna and a few others. We had a full congregation of Americans of African descent, a full congregation, and we had one or two people of European descent. and we put on literature, I preached it. We're an interracial ministry. We're an interracial ministry. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. We love it. Yeah, we got all kinds of races in here and everything. Praise Jesus. Sounds crazy. But when you come in here today, you don't think it's crazy. You just don't have a look because God fulfilled what seemed to be nonsense. And I say today that it's back to get on track to nonsense or supernatural sense, that God starts doing wonders in our midst. Everybody shout hallelujah.